Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, another wide receiver has requested a trade from his current team as this wild offseason continues and it's not even the draft yet. Plus, Raiders GM Dave Ziegler, he meets with the media, and I came away very impressed from what I saw and heard. We'll bring you a few sound bites from his pre-draft presser. Your calls and texts will close out the show. It's a very busy day. It's Thursday, April 21st, 2022.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Just Raiders. Win. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just win. Your team Just every win. Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find Locked On Raiders podcast free and available on all platforms. Plenty to get to on today's show, news and notes here in segment number one. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. And before I tell you about another disgruntled wide receiver in the NFL, let me tell you about a guy that's trying to make his way to the NFL, and that's Baylor safety JT Woods. Actually was asked about him earlier this week straight off the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line at 707-654-4690. And a report came out from Sikkim365.com. That's the website that my former program director, David Smoke, he works for. He kind of runs that place. Put out former Baylor safety JT Woods has taken visits to the Chiefs, Raiders, and Dolphins, plus had a workout with the Saints so far during the NFL draft process. Dan Brugler, who puts out The Beast, said that Woods is a three-year starter at Baylor. He was a versatile safety in head coach Dave Aranda's 3-3-5 base defense, and he earned himself the nickname the Heartbreak Kid because of his knack for creating turnovers and breaking the hearts of quarterbacks, combining for 9 interceptions during the past 2 seasons, and he also had an interception in the Senior Bowl. And as I mentioned the other day, JT Woods is just a playmaker. He's one of those guys. Him and Jalen Petrie made a hell of a combination as far as the safeties go for Baylor. And he's a guy who's projected to go anywhere from the 4th to the 5th round, maybe even a little bit later, depending on how the board shakes out. So if the Raiders have some interest in him, I wouldn't be mad. Again, really good playmaker for the Baylor Bears. I could see him doing some good things at the back end. I could also see him contributing right away on special teams and earning his way onto the field because that's just kind of who he is. But if you could find him maybe in the late 4th round, late 5th round or something like that, that'd be probably a heck of a deal for the Raiders to pick up. So just keep that name on your radar. JT Woods out of Baylor has met with the Silver and Black. Now, the big news that came out on Wednesday as far as the NFL is concerned was the fact that Deebo Samuel from the 49ers wants to be traded. Jeff Darlington from ESPN put out the tweet saying, "I just spoke to wide receiver Deebo Samuel. He told me he has asked the 49ers to trade him. He did not want to discuss specific reasons behind his request, but he has indeed let the 49ers know his desire to leave the organization. More to come." Again, Jeff Darlington put that out on Twitter, and there's been a whole lot of discussion ever since that tweet rolled out on Wednesday afternoon. It was probably about midday. Actually, it wasn't even midday. It was still early in the morning because it hadn't been. We didn't get to Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center yet for Dave Ziegler's press conference, and that news was already out. So it was still earlier in the morning when that news broke. And so, of course, throughout the course of the day, there was a lot of different information rolled out. Some say that he doesn't like his role that he's being used in San Francisco. Others say it's a contract. Some say San Francisco's already offered him a contract and he's not going to sign it and he's upset about it. But bottom line, we all know that the pay is a lot of it. You know, he wants to get paid just like everyone else across the league is getting paid. And it all started with Davante Adams. All of the dominoes that have fallen at the wide receiver position all started when Davante Adams was traded from the Packers to the Raiders and then given a contract extension. So really, the Raiders could feel like they have started this whole helter-skelter thing that's happened this offseason without even doing it on purpose. They were just trying to improve the team, and then all of a sudden, Tyreek Hill, he's out of the AFC West. Stephon Diggs is getting paid big-time money in Buffalo. Deebo Samuel wants out of San Francisco. And, you know, of course, all these don't directly affect the Raiders, but it's just funny about the, you know, the domino effect of everything going on. Well, Derek Carr, he noticed the tweet from Jeff Darlington talking about Deebo Samuel wanting to be traded, and he quote tweeted and said, "Dang, man, that's crazy. He does everything on the field. Ha ha." And then our guy, Kenny King Jr., tweeted underneath Derek's tweet, said, "Derek's on his way to Ziegler's office." And it was a picture of a dude like walking really fast. And this is the point of the whole thing. Derek responded like, "LOL, no, sir, that money is for Renfro." And so that got me thinking because, again, this is another time that he brought up Hunter Renfro when it comes to getting paid. And if you remember when he signed his contract extension, the name that kept popping up about, hey, you know, I didn't take as much money. We structured this contract so other guys, my other teammates can get paid, was Hunter Renfro. Hunter Renfro is a guy that he is really focusing on. We all know he's going into the final year of his rookie deal. We know Darren Waller still has a couple years left on his deal, but we all believe that he wants to get paid as well. Another name that Derek has brought up multiple times is Foster Moreau, but when he put out that tweet talking about, no, that money is for Renfro, it really got me thinking, like, okay, there must be something cooking with Hunter Renfro pretty soon. And I could be reading too far into it, but I do believe since Derek just signed his contract extension, obviously he has an idea of the plans that the Silver and Black is trying to do and what they're trying to make happen as far as contracts and the weapons around him go. So if you don't remember, let me go back to Derek Carr's presser when he was talking about why it was important to structure his extension the way he did. This is what he had to say.
It was important that because of the Khalil situation, like, I just didn't want, and we still could have had him, but looking back on it, I'm like, I want to make sure every opportunity is there for all of my guys to get signed. You know what I mean? I want to make sure there's every opportunity. Like, yeah, I mean, I took sacrifices. You know, everyone just looks at certain numbers and like, you know, why would you do that? What? First of all, get your hand out of my pocket. You know, that's number one. And you take less at your job. You know what I mean? But number two was, yeah, we did anyway, to make sure that guys like Hunter have an opportunity, not saying it's going to get done, but have an opportunity to get, you know, what they need. Foster, you know, Darren, all these guys. I don't know. I'm just, you know, whoever's out there, like whoever needs help, like as long as, you know, Tim and I felt good, like the big thing to me was like there were certain things that were important to me. And after that, I was like, you know how to structure this. You know how to do this with the team and all that. Just keep my guys together, you know. And I thought at the end of it, we sat down and I saw it. I even think my cap number went down this year, I was like, just bring my cap number down. I don't care how we do it. Let's just make it to where at the end of the day, I'm fine. My family's protected in their future. But at the same time, we can protect and take care of my teammates' futures too, you know. And so, we made sure that we could do that.
So there's Derek Carr talking about the structure of his contract and why they did it the way he did. And, you know, it's funny because we had someone's call the other day on the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line and talk about that exact clip. And I really couldn't find that one, but that was the one that I was looking for where he was talking about Khalil and talked about they still could have held on to him. They just chose not to. They just didn't make it happen. But he wanted to make sure that didn't happen again with Hunter. He mentioned Darren. He mentioned Foster Moreau, but Hunter Renfro really stood out to me because, again, he was talking about him on Twitter when he said, LOL, no, sir, that money is for Renfro. So before we get to Dave Ziegler and all the sound bites that he had from his pre-draft presser on Wednesday, I did want you to hear from Dave Ziegler on Hunter Renfro because during that presser, he was asked about Renfro and how the contract extension is coming along.
Very talented player. I've been asked about him in the past, and he's a gritty guy. Knows how to get open, knows how to win on third down, has some return experience, is good after the catch. So he has, Hunter's a good football player and has a lot of good elements that allow him to be successful on Sundays, which is important, and he's a young player. So like I've said before, when we talked about, I think it was Derek at the owner's meeting, relative to contracts and things like that, like we're always going to keep those things in-house and keep those discussions private. Hunter's going to be no different in that regard, but we're excited that he's on the team. We love good receivers, and he's one of them.
So of course he's not going to give you a whole lot, but that was what Dave Ziegler had to say about Hunter Renfro. So I thought it just kind of made sense to tie all that together, but there you go. Hunter Renfro, again, Derek Carr is talking about him. So clearly, in my opinion, I know that I've mentioned pay Hunter Renfro now and let Darren Waller go ahead and play his thing out. I know that there's other ways you could look at it and say, you know what, pay Waller right now and let Hunter Renfro get to the end of the season. And then boom, you can franchise him, do what you got to do, try to extend him during the season. There's a lot of different ways that they can go about this, getting all their guys under contract that they want to get under contract. But it definitely sounds to me like Hunter Renfro is a major, major key to their success and their plans moving forward. And I think that that's a great idea. We've seen the success that Josh McDaniels has had with slot receivers over the years with his time in New England. And Hunter Renfro, I think, can only be even better than all those guys. So that's what I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, news and notes of the day. Coming up in segment number two, we're actually going to hear from Dave Ziegler. I broke down the whole presser. It was about 30-something minutes. You're going to hear not the whole thing, but you'll hear a few sound bites, four or five sound bites that I thought stood out to me in a major way from what I heard on Wednesday and was in attendance for. Before I get to that, though, I do want to tell you about Blue Nile. At Blue Nile, you can celebrate all of life's special moments, from creating the custom engagement ring of her dreams to gifting a classic and timeless jewelry piece, all at prices you won't find at a traditional jeweler. Whether she prefers a statement piece or everyday elegance, BlueNile.com has fine jewelry options for every mom. Shop high-quality classic diamond rings, elegant tennis bracelets, or gemstone pendant necklaces. How about this Mother's Day? You give mom something she'll treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And all listeners of the Locked On Raiders podcast can get $50 off $500 spent. This podcast exclusive is only good through Mother's Day. You got to use the promo code Locked On. That's promo code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, it ships free, and it arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever piece. Go to BlueNile.com today.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to break down Dave Ziegler's presser that he had, the pre-draft presser that he had on Wednesday at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. I was there in attendance. It was the first time I was actually able to be around Dave Ziegler in person. I didn't get to make it to the introductory press conference because it happened at 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time when I'm on the radio, so I was back at the radio station. I didn't go to the owner's meeting. I didn't go to the combine. So this was my first opportunity to be around Dave Ziegler, see his body, you know, mannerisms, just, you know, hear him up close and personal, ask him questions of my own. And I'll tell you this, before we get into any sound bites from him, I came away so stinking impressed. I mean, I really did. He was very personable. He was actually pretty funny at times. I mean, he had a pretty good personality. He just seemed like he, you know, fit the part. And look, there's a long time before we're going to know how successful he is as a GM and how successful this regime is as a front office and a coaching staff. But I'll tell you what, I said it before. I did a show about the front office just feels like it's settled. There is no drama going on. Just seems like they know exactly what they're doing. Everything they do is calculated. Just makes a whole lot of sense, right? That's just kind of how it felt. And I mean, he took a long time to answer all our questions that we had. He probably talked to us for about 30 something minutes. And then even after the cameras went off, he still stuck around and talked for a little while. I really was impressed with the way that Dave Ziegler answered questions, the way that he's gone about this whole offseason. And also, and you'll hear one of his questions that I asked him about Champ Kelly, the way he's able to delegate and trust the people around him, where it's not just him. And I think that was a lot of John Gruden's issues, was he wanted to do everything. He wanted to have his hands in every single piece of the pie instead of allowing the people that he's hired to be in that position to actually be in that position. So I feel like Dave Ziegler has done a really good job trusting the people around him to make the right decisions and make the right call and give the right input on what he's trying to get accomplished. And so I think that goes a very long way. But it's not really about what I have to say. Instead, let's hear what GM Dave Ziegler had to say. So off top, how about just the depth of this draft? With the Raiders not picking till round three, pick 86, if they do stay where they're at, it's always going to be about depth. How much depth is there? How many real good impact players can they get in this draft? So here's Dave Ziegler talking about the depth he feels is in this draft.
You know, every draft is different. There's always different narratives. Like, and some of them are always the same. You know, each year, like these players don't exist, or, you know, so on and so forth. But I would answer that question and say, I do feel like there's good depth in this draft. Some positions are deeper than others. You know, at the top of the board and the top of the talent of the board, I don't know. Like, I think there's good players in this draft and that you could draft in the first round, you could draft in the second round, you could draft in the third round, whatever. But at the end of the day, I think the depth of this draft is strong.
So there you go. He didn't specify what positions was strong as far as depth goes, but he did say he felt like the draft was really deep. So up next is actually the first question I asked GM Dave Ziegler, and that was about the criteria. What is he looking for while he's evaluating prospects? And, you know, it's so funny because we always heard one narrative from Mike Mayock. We always heard something from John Gruden as well. You know, they were on the same page. And so when I'm listening to what Dave Ziegler had to say, all I could do is think back to what we used to hear from Mayock and Gruden all the time. So you'll hear Dave Ziegler talk about the criteria. Plus, you'll hear a follow-up question question that I ask about versatility. So it's a pretty lengthy question, pretty lengthy answer, I should say, with Ziegler talking about criteria. Check it out.
What's the criteria that we look for when we're evaluating players? I would say for us, a lot of it starts with the person. And so, and we've talked about this kind of at different points, but I would say people that love football, you want people that are passionate about their jobs, right? We all want to work with those types of people. We all want to hire those types of people that are passionate about their work. So I think it starts there. Good people, good character traits, people that are willing to work with others, people that are selfless, people that are team oriented, like those are really important things for us. Football intelligence is an important aspect for us. And I think, like, you know, kind of on its core, people that love football, people that are good teammates, people that have good football intelligence, those all calculate into low maintenance individuals. And I think the more low maintenance individuals that you have, where you're not expounding energy in those different areas, and you can focus just on getting better and winning, I think those are really some of the core criteria for us when we start to talk about a player on whether that player is going to be a fit for the Raiders or not. Forget about the talent and all those types of things. I think it has, those areas have to make sense first, and then you graduate onto the skill set and the value and all those different types of things.
How much is versatility important to you?
It's versatility is something that's highly important. The more you can do, the more positions you can play. We know that it just improves your depth. There's going to be injuries along the way during the season. So if you have a player that can fill in multiple spots, that's extra value. And so I think the more that you can do, the more we're going to allow you to do, and the more that we can allow you to do, just the more value you have for the club.
So there is Dave Ziegler talking about the criteria when they're trying to evaluate these draft prospects. And then you also heard him talk about versatility. And it's so funny because when he's talking about the criteria, you're hearing, you know, guys that love football, guys that are passionate about the game, guys that are high character guys. And it sounds a lot like what we heard from Mayock and what we heard from Gruden, right? The difference is, I don't think, and we had a guy actually text in, Rob in Oakland, he actually texted in on my radio show on Wednesday on Raider Nation Radio 920, Unnecessary Roughness, and said, you know what? Mayock and Gruden said that, but these guys, I think, are actually disciplined enough to believe that and execute that. So I thought that was a really good point because, again, that's something that we hear, and I think a lot of teams are looking for the passionate football player, the guy who loves the game, the guy who's so passionate about the game that he'd do it for free. I mean, you know, we've heard all that, the guy who's going to stay out of trouble, the high-character guy. Mayock, Gruden, they all said that, but then they went and drafted guys like Damon Arnette, who we all know are not high-character guys. Went and got other dudes that they thought were going to be really good players that turned out not to be really good players and not high-character guys. So it's just, are they disciplined enough to stick to their board and stick to their beliefs and actually execute that? It feels like this regime really is. But, of course, we'll have to wait and see. So then he was asked a question that I thought was fantastic, and I hate that I don't remember who actually asked the question, but it was really good because of the way that the question was worded, and I like how Ziegler corrected it. So he was asked about the fact that the Raiders aren't picking until round three. Do you go with the best athlete approach, or do you take a guy for need? Listen to Dave Ziegler's answer. I thought this was fantastic.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't necessarily say best athlete available, but I would say the best player available. And again, that best player available, going back to the traits that I talked about, it's going to start there. But to answer your question, we want the best available players, you know, regardless of position. That's how we want to continue to build the team. I think if you're drafting good football players, you're making good choices. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I know a lot of people have talked about it. When you kind of overextend just to draft a need, you can often pass over good football players that can help your team. And I think that can be, a slippery slope if that's kind of the way you approach it.
I love how at the very beginning of that answer, he said, not the best athlete, but the best football players. How many times do we remember in the past that the Raiders went and selected the best athlete? You know, the Obi Melanfonwus, the Bruce Campbells, the so on and so forth. You know, Darius Hayward Bay, guy after guy after guy that was just a hell of an athlete, a really good workout warrior, a guy who can run really fast, jump really high, was really strong, but couldn't play football worth a lick. You know what I mean? So the good thing is, yeah, they're going for the best player available, a.k.a. football player, not best athlete, not the best guy that showed out at the combine. That was refreshing to hear, and I love the way that he corrected that question that was answered, because that was the way that it was asked, best athlete, not best player available. And then to say that, hey, you know, it's a slippery slope if you start trying to just grab a guy for need. So again, it just to me feels like this approach from this regime is going to be straight up, we are going to get the best football player available when it's our turn to select. And I think for the most part, we all agree that is the way to go. Now, if there's just a specialty player, then I guess that you can make an exception here or there. But for the most part, I think that that's the best approach to take. So he's had a lot that he's had to do. I mentioned before about delegating and making sure that, you know, he trusts the guys that he puts in certain positions. They brought on Champ Kelly as the assistant GM, a guy that actually interviewed for the GM job, a guy who's going to have a GM job pretty soon. I mean, he's going to have his own team that he is the general manager for sooner rather than later. So I asked Dave Ziegler about Champ Kelly and what has he meant to this process as he's preparing for the draft. Because look, Dave Ziegler's had a lot going on since he took over as the GM of the Silver and Black. So preparing for the draft as well is not very easy, along with everything else they've been doing this offseason, trading for Davante Adams, going to get Chandler Jones, extending Max Crosby, extending Derek Carr. Where do you have time to go ahead and focus in on the draft? Well, listen to Dave Ziegler's answer about assistant GM Champ Kelly and what he's meant to the process.
Yeah, Champ's been exceptional for us up to this point. He'll continue to be. He's taken on, I'd say, a lot of different hats through this process. Obviously, his title's assistant GM. He's worked heavily on the college side here since he's been involved, since we brought him on board. And it's kind of, I would say, been a leader in that regard too. I could kind of go on all the different areas that he's helped organize and he's helped kind of facilitate. But he's been extremely valuable. He's someone that I can rely on. That again, I'd say we've been trained the same way, so we see a lot of processes how we want to run the college process similar. We see players in a similar light. So he's been extremely valuable for us and has just been someone that, you know, I've been able to lean on that takes a lot of pressure off of me of having to feel like you have to have your hands in everything, right? And control each and every process. I can lean on him to control those things and to make sure they're executed in the way that we believe they should be.
I thought that was high regard right there. I thought that was some glowing remarks about assistant GM Champ Kelly from Dave Ziegler right there. And it allows him to be able to do what he's been doing this offseason and also still be full throttle with the draft, because Champ Kelly's taking on the college role. You know what I mean? He's taking on that college aspect, and he's taking control of the draft and where they're going and the way that they want to scout these players. And again, that's another reason why Champ Kelly is going to be a general manager of his own team at some point. There's been many, many people that say how talented Champ Kelly is and that, you know, he really does a great job when it comes to the college evaluation. And you see him and Dave Ziegler are really on the same page with that. But I thought that was a really, really good answer when it came to assistant GM Champ Kelly. Now, the final soundbite that I have for you on today's show, and please believe I got a lot more where that came from. There was a lot more talked about in the presser, but I'm not going to go ahead and play every single soundbite or the whole thing. But the final one I do want to play for you here is about owner Mark Davis and what direction or advice has he received from Mark Davis in this whole process since taking over as the Raiders GM?
Well, I think that, you know, the one thing about Mark that's that, you know, is a real positive about Mark is Mark lets you do your job, you know. So, of course, Mark's very passionate about the Raiders, and Mark wants to win football games, which is another very attractive trait of Mark as an owner of a football team. Those are the types of owners that you want to have. Mark, I wouldn't say there's a directive from Mark. You know, Mark, just like us, we want to add good football players that represent the Raiders well on the field, but also represent the Raiders off the field. And I know that's an important aspect. That's something that Mark has preached to us, and something that's important to Mark and something that's important to us. And I think that's really the directive. If there's a directive, which he hasn't, you know, specifically sat us down and said, this is the directive. But Mark wants players that are going to help us win football games and are going to be good people in the community and are going to be good representatives of the Raiders brand. And so that's our focus going forward.
Just thought that was a cool little answer about owner Mark Davis. And obviously, he's very passionate about the team and wants the team to be winner again. But then also, at the same time, wants the team to represent in a major way in the community in a positive way, not one that we've seen the past year where we've seen guys that have not done very positive things in the community. So clearly, Mark Davis does care about what's going on in the Las Vegas community and wants to care about and does care about whoever is representing that Raider Shield. And so definitely thought that that was a good answer from GM Dave Ziegler. And please believe there's a lot more where that came from. If you want to go hear the whole thing, you can go to Raiders.com. It's up there in its entirety. The video, you can check it out on YouTube if you want. It's probably, like I said, about 35, almost 40 minutes, but lots of good stuff from GM Dave Ziegler. And again, I came away very impressed from that media session that we had with him on Wednesday. Coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Before I get to that, though, do want to tell you about betonline.net. They're your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. You can find the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including the NBA playoffs, plus Major League Baseball. You know the season is just underway. It's very young still. You can check out all the information that you need on betonline.net. They're your number one source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. Go to the website today on your laptop or your mobile device to learn about the trends and all the action. Betonline.net, that's where the game starts.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. It's segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with Joe, formerly a KC, now in the ATL. He's calling to talk about the Dave Ziegler presser and something that really stood out to him. Here he is, Joe, formerly a KC, now in the ATL.
Yo, what up, Q? It's your boy Joe, formerly a KC, currently an ATL. Been a while since I called in. And I was just listening to the Ziegler press conference for the draft, and he made a point that I've never heard of. And he was asked about trading up in the draft, and he talked about, like, looking at the stats of what other teams normally do during the draft to kind of figure out, you know, who's more likely to want to do a trade or not. And, like, I've never heard of anybody doing anything like that before. So I just thought it was really cool that, you know, that's what our GM does. It just really shows that we have, you know, like, next-level people in the office, right, in the front office. Not to, you know, knock Mike Mayock, and that may have been something that he may have been doing before, or his team may have been doing before, but we just never heard it. But it's really impressive, and it feels really good to hear that, you know, they go to those lengths in order to, you know, to see the possibilities that we have. I'm really comfortable with what we have. I'm happy with what we've done so far, man. I'm just really excited. Just wanted to call and talk about that, man. Raiders, Joe out.
There he goes, Joe in the ATL. Appreciate the call, my man. Great stuff. And, yeah, I think that what you pointed out was the attention to detail that this new regime has and that they're doing that. That's a great example of it, what you just pointed out. And that's one of the main reasons I have confidence in what they're doing, is because of that attention to detail. They make sure every I is dotted and every T is crossed. And that, exactly what you said, that pointing it out, talking about trade tendencies and all that, that comes from really, really doing a deep dive into every team and what everybody's got going on as far as the draft goes. So, again, that's another reason why I have confidence in what these guys are doing. Thank you so much for that call. Appreciate you. Next up, got a quick text from Canadian Raider. Hey, Q, it's Canadian Raider. Real quick question. Edwards, Abram, and a fifth-round pick. Is that enough to get us into the tail end of the second round? That's from Canadian Raider. And thank you for the text. And I'm trying to think, man. Edwards, Abram, and a fifth-round pick. Now, does that mean you're trying to move up from round three, pick 86, and get into round two? Or is that just trying to get a two straight up? Because if you're just trying to get a two straight up, probably not. You know what I mean? Like, probably not. I know that Abram was a former first-round pick and Edwards was a former third-round pick, but neither one of them done enough to really say that that guy is going to be the dude, and then you're adding a fifth-round pick. So if it's just that, probably not. If you're trying to move up from three to where you're at, then, yeah, possibly. But then you're also, you know, that the team that you trade with is also getting your third-round pick as well. So I don't think it's really worth it. Honestly, when you think about all that you just gave up to try to move up to the back of the second round, unless it's a big-time difference maker, I don't think it's worth it. But thank you so much for that text. I do appreciate you. Next up, got a call from Raider Myth in the 408. He's calling to ask about a very important question that was asked at the Dave Ziegler presser on Wednesday. Here he is, Raider Myth in the 408.
Yo, yo, Raider Myth calling from the 408. Calling real quick, man. I just got done listening to the afternoon
meeting with Ziegler, and just at the end, the question that everybody wants to know, the SBU episode, they asked him, and then it just cut off, man. I don't know if you have the the end of that interview or the end of that clip, but I'm trying to find it, bro. But I mean, he was gonna answer it. He got to the good part and it just cut us off. I was like, dang it, I wanted to know. I don't know if you got any extra sound on that for tomorrow's show or the next show, but yeah, man, I just want to call in, see if you got it, because I'm pretty interested as well as I think everyone else. but yeah, man, all right, have a good one, man. Raiders.
There he goes, Raider Myth right there with maybe the most important question that was asked at the presser on Wednesday, and that was about Law & Order SVU. Was Dave Ziegler, the Raiders GM, was he an extra in that show? And I asked him that question at the very end. I got a tweet during the presser and was like, Q, here's your opportunity. You can ask him about Law & Order SVU, and I thought, yep, you sure right. But I wanted to wait until it was over, right? I didn't want to just ask in the middle. We're talking about the draft. We're talking about the team. And all of a sudden, hey, by the way, were you on SVU? So at the end, when it was all over, I just said, hey, man, were you an extra on Law & Order SVU? And he kind of looked and he kind of laughed and he started to answer it. And I thought that the answer went out, you know, over Raiders.com or on the YouTube, so I guess it didn't. But my guy Damon, who's back in the home studio, he heard the answer and he was laughing about it. So I don't know how he heard the answer and you didn't get to hear it. But yeah, he in fact was an extra on Law & Order SVU. And not only was he that, he told us what episode it was, the fact that he was on the episode that had Ludacris on it. He said what role he was playing, a reporter. And he was like, hey, I was actually one of you guys. I was a reporter. But the problem is I picked up the recorder like this and I held it like this when we all know, or you guys all know, that that's not how it works. And so it was funny because he was breaking down why he wasn't very good at it, but he said, hey, it was my first time they asked me back. So I guess he's had a few opportunities to be an extra on different shows, including Law & Order SVU. So I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, I did get that question in, and I got reminded while I was at the presser, or else I would have forgot. So I'm glad that I did. So the big mystery that I had, at least, I guess apparently other people didn't have that mystery, but my big mystery has been solved. Dave Ziegler was part of Law & Order SVU. Next up, got a text from Slick Back Raider. Hey, Q, I know it's still early, but when would you consider this new Raider regime with Ziegler and McDaniels a bust? We talk about how good they are doing this offseason, but like your grandma says, just because it looks good and feels good, don't mean it is good. That's from Slick Back Raider, and thank you for the text, my man, and I got a question for you. not that you're wrong, because you're right. Everything looks good and it sounds good. You're right. It doesn't mean that it's good. You know, it could all go bad. That's why I said earlier in the show that there's still going to be some time before we know if this regime is successful or not, this front office and this coaching staff. But is there something that has happened that you think already that this regime is a bust, or are you just wondering in general, you know, okay, so what does it take before we start saying that this regime is a bust? That's really my question, because right now to me, and if I'm wrong, please correct me, there's been nothing that this regime has done that would make me think and question, oh, they're going to be a bust. You know what I mean? Like, there's been nothing that they've done so far. If there's something that you've seen or something you didn't like that they did, please don't hesitate to tell me, because I would love to talk about it and discuss it. Maybe we can make it a full topic. So if you got something that you don't think that this regime has done right, especially Dave Ziegler in that front office, please holler at your boy and let me know. So thank you so much for that text. I wish I could answer it a little bit better, but I guess I gotta get a little bit more context on your question that you were asking. So thank you so much again. I do appreciate you. Let me get one more call in. We'll take it from Reggie out of Pomona. He's calling to talk about the post-June 1st money for Carl Nassib and Corey Littleton's contract. Then he talks about the safety position and a veteran safety in particular. Here he is, Reggie, calling out of Pomona.
What up, Q? It's your boy Reggie Rez from Pomona once again, man. Hey, check it out. Today's the day we get that Tony Neal from the Carl Nassib and Corey Littleton contracts, right? So I had to call in, man, because I've been waiting on today. Plus, I got to pull one in the air for Ready Nation for my 420 partakers. Feel me? Yes, sir. But check it out. I know you was high on Stephon Gilmore. But me, I always preferred the Honey Badger. And this is why. It's because, man, we thin at safety. All we have is Merrick and Abram back there. And Abram is a liability because of the new scheme We don't know how we're going to use them. I heard people say moving the linebacker, which I don't think will work. Plus, we went and picked up three corners, right? We traded for Rocky Sin, Anthony Averett, and the dude that a lot of people be forgetting about is Darius Phillips. I know he returned kicks and stuff like that, but he also started in the league, so that got to count for something. Hey, and at safety, man, all we have is Merritt. I like Gillespie, but Leavitt is Leavitt. We picked up Harmon, but he's like the what-if guy because he's an old vet. We really don't know. So we need the Honey Badger, man. And today's the day we get that 20 mil. So hopefully the Honey Badger's coming soon. And if you put, man, you put Matthew with Trayvon, oh my God, bro. You ain't going to be able to tell me nothing. Book it. We going to the bowl, especially with that pass rush to go with them safeties, man. Holla at your boy. But anyways, man, I just wanted to holla at you. I'm excited for the day we get that money. So hopefully the Honey Badger coming soon. Just win, baby.
There he goes, Reggie Ridge out of Pomona. Thank you so much for the call, my man. And I hate to tell you this, but the post-June 1st money that the Raiders are going to receive for Carl Nassib and Corey Littleton, that's going to come post-June 1st. I'm not too sure who told you that it was going to come on April 20th. Maybe it was a little bit too much April 20 celebration. I don't know. You know, that little 420 celebration, maybe that was going on and got the dates messed up. But no, they're not going to get that money until post-June 1st. So that's going to happen after the draft. So they're not going to get that money anytime soon. If they're waiting on that to sign the Honey Badger, and if he's waiting on that for him to sign with another team, he's going to be waiting until June. So, yeah, they're not going to get that anytime soon. And, yeah, I was a bigger Stephon Gilmore guy because I thought that a veteran quarterback is what they needed. And I know that they have a couple veterans on the list, but I like what Stephon Gilmore brings to the table as far as familiarity with Patrick Graham and his system, but not for the money that he signed with the Colts. So I was okay with the Colts signing when you saw how much money he got, $23 million over 2 years, with $14 million of it, I believe, guaranteed in the first year. So, yeah, I understood why they weren't going to spend that kind of money. The Honey Badger could be a good fit. He absolutely could be. I mean, I know that the Raiders have a couple of good safeties there. You know, obviously, Trevon Merrick, I'm a big fan of him. Daron Harmon, they brought him in. He's from the Patriots. They have other options as well. Gillespie might be an option. Who knows? We'll have to see how that shakes out. And there's still other guys that they could bring and add to the mix as well. So I don't know if the Honey Badger is going to be in their mix. I have a feeling he's going to end up with the Saints, but that's just my gut feeling because that's his hometown. So we'll see. But I'm sure that anytime you can get a guy that can make plays and create turnovers like the Honey Badger can, that's only a great addition. That'd be a really good addition to the defense. We'll just see if he wants too much money. If he's looking for Stephon Gilmore money, he's not going to get it from the Silver and Black. But thank you so much for that call, my man. And, yeah, look for that $20 million for that salary cap space. That's going to come post-June 1st. Thank you so much for that. I do appreciate you. You know what? Let me go ahead and get one more text in because it's a mock draft from Pro Football Focus from that mock draft simulator that I talked about on Wednesday's show. This is a text from Scott in Ohio. Thanks, Q. You got me going down this rabbit hole. I went down for an hour. This approach was best player available every round except the last and only took a quarterback because of the things Josh McDaniels said about taking one to develop. By the way, I took Kobe Bryant, the cornerback out of Cincinnati, four times in the fourth round and never got above a C-. So here is Scott in Ohio's mock draft that he did on Pro Football Focus with the mock draft simulator, and then we'll wrap up the show. Round three, pick number 86, linebacker Brian Asamoah from Oklahoma. He got an A-plus grade in round three from Pro Football Focus. Round four, number 126, the tackle out of Arizona State, Kellen Deesh, got another A-plus. So he's two for two with A-pluses. Round five, can he keep it going? Number 164, another tackle out of North Dakota, Matt Waletzko. I might have said his name wrong. Hold on, let me check. I got a little guide here. Let me check. No, I said his name right. Matt Waletzko. There you go. Boom, I was right. And guess what? Scott in Ohio was right. He got an A-plus on that one. That's three for three, three A-pluses for Scott in Ohio so far on his Pro Football Focus mock draft. Round five, the second pick, 165. Another offensive lineman, a center, Joshua Williams out of UNC Pembroke. Got a B-plus. That's just like a fail. That's almost like a fail when you have all those A-plus and then you get a B-plus. But that's still good. You're still cooking with grease. Then round seven, pick 227, quarterback Brock Purdy out of Iowa State. And he got a B-plus for that. So overall, Scott got an A. Really good mock draft, man. A-plus, 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 B-plus, B-plus. That all evens out to an A. I like it. Very good one. I'll tell you right now, man, that thing is a lot of fun to do. I went throughout the course of the day on Wednesday and probably did about three or four more, including a couple while I was on the air on Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920, just to have some fun. I had my guy, Damon Cotton, do it. He messed it up the first couple times because, well, he's just, well, that's just him. You know what I mean? You know he's going to mess it up. So he messed it up a couple times, but he started having some fun with it too. So go ahead and try your luck. I did have a lot of people text in and call in and talk about their mock drafts as well. Continue to have some fun with it, man. It's mock draft season. Why not? Pro Football Focus Mock Draft Simulator, and try your luck. So that's all I got for you for today's show. Thank you for all the feedback, and thanks so much for making the Locked On Raiders podcast your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the show free and available on all platforms. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have more news and notes of the day, and you'll hear from Nathan Cooper from SIS, that's Sports Info Solutions. It's almost pro football focus-like. It's very analytical. Going to talk all things NFL draft. So that conversation is coming up on tomorrow's show. We'll close out the week really strong as we do each and every week, going to the final weekend before the NFL draft. It's going down a major way. Raider Nation, take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Love on your family. And most importantly, as always, just win, baby.